Well, good evening tonight. Let's see. Are we on? All right. I'm going to move this big Bible here. I was thinking this afternoon, just thinking about this message that God had put on my heart, and I was thinking, what am I more nervous for? Was it the first time I had to lead singing or the first time that I get to preach? And I, to my joy and to my surprise, they actually turn the mic off when you lead singing. So don't worry. You just have to kind of get up here and just do your thing. So, but I believe the mic is on now. So may the Lord's word be heard tonight through me. And I pray that he would just use me tonight. But just to kind of give an introduction on how this message came to me, it was a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. Mr. Delaney was up here preaching in the morning service, and it seems like it's his custom to do a little song before, and I love that. And he does a little song before he preaches, and he sang the song "In Times Like These," and I'd never heard that song before, and that song really struck my heart, and it really made me think about God. It made me think about what my anchor is holding to. In times like these, we need a savior, we need an anchor. Be very sure, again, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And I went home, and I'd never heard that song, so I went home and found a version on YouTube so I could just listen to it and learn the words. If you asked my wife, she would say, I don't ever want to hear that song again. But I just love it, and it almost brings me to tears when I hear it. I grew up listening to a lot of wicked music. That was just my culture. That's the culture of our day. It hasn't changed. And when I got my heart right on music, I realized that the songs that I listen to now in the hymn book and the dark blue book is even like a whole nother level. It just, the words mean something. And the music means something, and it can touch your heart in a way that affects you. And I heard that song, and it's been on my heart about the solid rock and having Jesus really being that rock that our anchor is holding to. That anchor being our hope, our faith. What is that holding on to? Is it something sure, or is it whatever else the world has? So I hope we can just look at a few verses tonight, look at the scripture and see what it says about Jesus Christ, the solid rock, the firm foundation, the rock of ages, just like all the hymns that we sang tonight. And let's pray, and we'll get into the message tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for being there for us. Thank you for being the refuge, the rock, the foundation of our lives. Father, I pray that you would speak through me tonight. I pray that you would hide me in the cross. I pray that you would truly speak to our hearts tonight. And I pray that you would just get me out of the way. I pray that you would just empty me. And I pray that you would speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been in our scripture reading with the church. If you've been following along, we've been kind of going through the life of David. And now we're into the life of Solomon. But it's amazing what happened to David after he became king. I mean, he kills Goliath. He becomes the king. Everything just seems like it's on the up and up. And then disaster strikes with Bathsheba, and then Absalom, and all kinds of just trials and tribulations come his way, and his life just seems to spiral just out of control. But you read in the book of Psalms all the joy and all the refuge that he had in knowing God. He was able to find some strength in those trials and those tribulations in Jesus Christ, the solid rock. And that's kind of the inspiration that I have from God, that no matter what we're going through, no matter what the circumstances may bring, no matter how rough the storms may get, we have an anchor that holds to the solid rock. And I think about David when he was being pursued. When he was being pursued by Saul, even before he was king, Saul wanted to kill him. Where did he go? He went to the rocks, and he was hiding in the rocks. I just see him and his mighty men out in the wilderness of man, just trying to find a place to hide. Just trying to find a place to hide. Saul was breathing down his neck, trying to kill him, chasing after him, but he found refuge. And in Psalms, he talks about Jesus Christ being his rock of refuge. That rock of ages cleft for me. That rock has been cleft out so that we can hide ourselves in thee. And that was David hiding in the wilderness to try to get away from Saul. Even when Absalom was coming after him, he was running and hiding and trying to get away from him. And I love that thought that, man, when times get rough, we can hide ourselves in Christ. We can find a refuge in the rock of refuge. Not only when he was pursued, but when he was persecuted. Just last week, I believe it was, James was teaching on Shimei. When he's throwing rocks at David, and you know what he did? He didn't come back at him. He said, I'm going to let the Lord deal with it. I'm going to give it over to God. And he said, you know what? Even though Saul was throwing spears at him, you know, Saul, Absalom, everyone was trying to kill him, he went back to Jesus Christ or God, and he said, you know what? He's the rock of my salvation. He saved him from those people that were coming after him, and he was the rock of eventually vengeance, which is eventually what happened to Shimei there. But not only that, towards the end, we see that David faced some special trials when he was punished. When he was faced with the issue with Bathsheba, and Nathan comes to him, and Nathan tells him, hey, you're the man. You are the man. You're feeling bad for this guy, this story that I just told you, but you're the man that I'm talking about. And it seems like Jesus is a picture right there of that rock of repentance, that rock that we get smitten on. And he was broken there, and he turned back to God, and he said, you know what, God, that was me. That was me. And I think about so many times in my life when we just have to own up to it, when we realize that we're the man, and it's nobody else but us, but Jesus is that rock. And just so many different things in David's life, and just time and time again, we see Jesus or David going to the rock. Going, talking about the rock of my salvation, talking about he's my defense. He's the rock of my salvation. Blessed be my rock. He just says rock, 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 rock all through the book of Psalms. And I love Psalm 61, 2. I have it right here. It says, From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's awesome. He's just searching, and he also says, who is a rock save our God? There's nobody else that's solid like Jesus, like our God, like the God of that we worship and that we're going to just learn about today. So just that was just kind of an introduction of just kind of taking through the life of David, and that's kind of where this will transition into our text today, because this text gives a little bit more explanation of who our rock is. The chief cornerstone, the Bible says, elect and precious. So let's look at, if you have your Bibles open, look at verse number 4. It says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. The first thing that I want to look at tonight is the position of this stone. We know that Jesus Christ is our rock. We sang about it. We learned about it in David's life in the Psalms. But what is the true position that we ought to have with this rock? What I see is his chief. In verse number 6, it goes on to say, whereunto also it is contained in the scripture, which is starting a prophecy back in Isaiah. It says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You say, man, what position should this rock have in my life and in our lives? Man, it's chief. Chief. What is chief? We have a president, and he's our commander-in-chief of our military. We have police chief of police. We have fire chief. What is a chief? A chief is simply the authority, the leader, the person that we look to for guidance. He's the chief. We think of the Native American tribes. They have a chief. That person was the person that everybody looked up to. He was the head honcho. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone, and it talks about us being a part of this building of God. We're a part of it, but Jesus is chief. We're all part of this building. We're all part of the body of Christ, the building of Christ that's talked about right here. We're all lively stones, but the living stone is Jesus Christ. The chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ, and I just love that thought of him being preeminent. Him being the first, the chief, our example. The thought here reminds me of, just a builder getting ready to build a building, and he's going to a quarry with a bunch of rocks. They're all over the place, and which one do we want to get? We need to get the one that we're going to pattern everything else off of. We need the one that's going to be the chief cornerstone. And there it is, Jesus Christ. Who is our chief? Jesus Christ. I think about today, Mother's Day. I think about my mom when I think about the word chief. When I think about the leader, the authority, at least in my life, I didn't grow up with my dad in my home, but I had my mom as my chief. And I got to talk to her this afternoon, and got to Skype, and she was excited, exchanged gifts and all that stuff. And it was just awesome to just kind of, I miss her. I really do. I miss her. She misses me, and she misses Shay. But growing up, she was my chief. She was my leader. She was my guide. She was the person that woke me up to get me on the church bus. She didn't come at that often, but she made sure that I was up and dressed and ready. And I love that. She was the person that really said, hey, you're going to church? And most of the time I wanted to. I just needed someone to wake me up because back then I liked sleeping more than church. And I think I've matured a little bit in that area that I get up and go to church. So I think of this word chief, Jesus Christ, our chief cornerstone. And as parents and as leaders that we're supposed to be as Christians, man, we're like the under chiefs. We're supposed to be examples to others. We're supposed to follow Jesus in this area. But when it comes down to it, Jesus is the chief. Jesus is the chief. But not only is he chief, the Bible says a chief cornerstone, elect. We all know what elect means. It's election season. We all know that it's been a contentious, everyone's throwing stones at everybody else and dirt on their name and all this stuff. And it's pretty bad. But as Americans, hey, that's how it goes. We get to elect our representatives. We get to choose. We get to vote. We get to give our opinion. And I want to look at this as God's preference. God's preference was Jesus Christ. The Bible says right here in verse number 4, it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. Chosen of God. Out of everybody else, out of anything that he could have chose, he chose Jesus. He said, I want the chief cornerstone to be Jesus. He chose him. He elected him. When it came down to God's vote, who did he vote for? He voted for Jesus, and he was the one chosen. Not us, not our parents, not anything else, not anything this world has to offer, not our president. It's Jesus. Jesus was the one chosen. So when we get caught up in elections, oh, who's gonna be the king? Who are we gonna choose? Think about it, man, who are we choosing? Who are we choosing with our life? Let alone the country, who are we choosing with our life? God chose Jesus. Chief cornerstone, elect. Elect. He was chosen. And like I said before about that builder going to the quarry and trying to figure out which one was going to be the chief. Which one was going to be the chief? And it's that same thought. He chose this one. He preferred this one over all the others. He said, Jesus Christ is the model. Jesus Christ is the example. He's the one that I choose. He's the one that I want to be, to pattern everything else around. And that's who we should be choosing. That should be our election. But I also notice in this scripture here, it goes on to tell about the people that don't choose Jesus Christ as their cornerstone. It says disallowed indeed of men. He wasn't voted of by men. We know that Jesus, when he was put up between him and a murderer, Barabbas, the people didn't choose Jesus Christ. They chose the murderer. They said, crucify him. What are we going to do with Jesus then? If we didn't vote for Barabbas, what are we going to do with Jesus? And they not only did they not vote for him to get released, they said, crucify him. Get rid of him. You know, we're going to have, eventually, when it comes down to it in November, one of the two people is going to get elected. But the other person is just going to go on with their life. What happened with Jesus, not only was he not voted for, not elected, the Bible says he was disallowed, and we know that he was crucified. They didn't choose them. And who are these people that didn't choose them? The Bible says that they were disobedient. In verse number 7, it says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Verse 8 says, "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient." So when I think about my life and who I'm choosing to be that chief cornerstone, that foundation of my life, the Bible says right here that the ones that don't choose him are the ones that are disobedient. The ones that stumble at his word. And I think, man, I don't want that to be me. I want to choose Jesus. I don't want to be the disobedient one. I want to be the one that chooses Jesus and elects him as the Lord of my life and puts him at the foundation of my life so that my house, my life that I'm trying to build on, whatever it is, doesn't crumble. We know that there's all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. But Jesus Christ, we know, he's a solid rock. He's the cornerstone. Over and over again, he's referred to this rock. We sing another song, "There's Honey in the Rock." I'm just thinking of all these songs that just are popping in my mind. It's just amazing. But first I said, he's chief cornerstone. He's the first. He's the most important. He's the pattern. Then I said, he's the elected. He was chosen of God. Not necessarily always chosen of men. Most of the time, most men in this world are casting him aside and saying, no thanks. We'll do it our way. We'll do it this way. We'll do it the way of the world. We'll do it the way that the intellectuals do it. We'll take a vote and we'll see what the people say and we'll do it that way. But God chose Jesus Christ. God chose Jesus Christ. Man, who do I choose? And think about that on a daily basis. Every decision that I make, who am I choosing? Who am I voting for? Who am I relying on with my life? Finally, verse 6, the Bible says, "Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious." Precious. There's another song that's sang by one of my favorite singers, introduced to me by my wife. Precious Jesus. That's the name of the song. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Every time I hear that song, I just think of value. What is the value? What is the importance? How do I cherish Jesus Christ? That word precious is something that just speaks to the importance. How important is it? Precious Jesus. And when I think about this, it brings me back to the days getting ready to get married, getting ready to pick out a wedding ring. I did some research and found out all about diamonds. Found about all the De Beers conspiracy. I found out about, you know, diamonds really aren't really that worth what they're worth, and you know, they're really a relatively, you know, they're not scarce at all. They're found everywhere. They're not worth what they're worth. But as I was getting ready, I ended up in a diamond shop looking for a diamond ring. Despite my research, despite the knowledge that I found out about diamonds, I was going to be getting a diamond for my wife. So I'm in the diamond shop. I went with my stepdad and one of his friends. It's like 15 minutes outside of Detroit. This is the place where all the sports stars go. When they come to Detroit, they come to this place. And my stepdad, if you ever meet him, if he comes, you'll understand why. He knows the down low on all these things. So he brings me to this diamond shop in Southfield, Michigan, and there's pictures all up on the wall of, you know, all these boxers and Pistons basketball players and all these NFL guys and, you know, Floyd Money Mayweather, just everybody. I'm like, It's in the most inconspicuous spot. It's really in the suburbs. It's not even like in Detroit. But it was just funny how they all came to this and they all had pictures with all the workers and so forth. But anyways, I'm in here and I'm nervous. I'm sweating. I'm like, I gotta choose one of these. I worked all summer to be able to afford this, and I'm like, man, I'm about to be dropping a lot of money here. And I'm like sweating. I'm like, should I get this one? I'm like, not that one. How about this one? Like, not that one. Like, this one? Okay, I got down to like two or three options, and I'm thinking, Which one am I going to get here? And ended up picking one. Then I had to match it with something else to make sure it worked. And I'm just like, I'm just sitting there at the counter, just like, I can't believe I'm about to do this. And my stepdad's trying to like encourage me, and he's like, hey, you know what? This will last a lifetime, and this is really important. This is a big deal. And I'm just like, I know, but it was just a weighty matter. Anyways, I get it all set up, and I take it home. I took it back to my dorm. I was in college at the time, and I'm just sitting there in the car. I'm in the back seat. My stepdad and his friend were in the front, and they kind of dropped me off. I got back in my car, and I had like from Southfield back to Ann Arbor was like a, what was it? Probably like a 30-minute drive, maybe 45 minutes. And I'm just sitting here with this diamond, and I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, I cannot lose this thing. I need to guard this thing with my life. I mean, this is like everything right here. And I get back to my dorm, and I had one roommate, and I'm like, this dude better not steal it. I can't even leave it here. I just have to take it with me everywhere. So I took that thing with me to every class. I had it in my pocket. I was going to class, and every 5 minutes I was checking to make sure it was there. Like, did I lose it? Is there a hole in my pocket? Did someone like pickpocket me? Like, I was like walking around with like my hand on my pocket, just like, I cannot lose this or it's gonna be bad. I still had like, I think I had like another month before I was gonna propose and give it to her, and then it's gonna be out of my hands and I don't have to worry about it. But for that, and it's like, it's not like I'm gonna wear it, you know, so I have to keep it in this box and make sure that I just don't lose it. Make sure that I have it everywhere that I go. And I was just thinking, okay. And I remember like at nighttime, I would take it out and I would just like look at it, like let it like glisten in the light, and like, man, I can't lose this. This is a lot of money and this is a lot of weight, and I cannot get another one. It's just not going to happen. I spent all my money. This is it. So I'm looking at it, I'm guarding it, I'm making sure I have it, I'm keeping it with me, I'm making sure I don't lose it, everything. And I think about that, do I cherish Jesus the same way? Do I check to make sure that I have him? Is he that precious to me? Is he that precious to me that I'll make sure that Jesus is with me? That I have him on my heart, that I have him before my eyes, that I have him in me. Is he that precious? And I think to myself, a lot of times, no. A lot of times I'm doing my own thing. I'm not checking. I'm not making sure that God's with me. He's not as precious. And that's convicting. But to God, said he was chosen of God in verse number 4, but disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And then in verse 6, he says, he's the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, valuable, important, something that you don't want to lose, something that you only got one of, something that you're not going to get another one of. Precious. That's what Jesus is. What kind of stone is Jesus? What kind of rock is Jesus? Far more valuable than a diamond, especially considering the conspiracy and all that stuff. But far more precious than any stone. The rarest stone, the best cut stone is Jesus. And then, just to close, if you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. As I was studying this, I was just looking at different verses about rocks and so forth, and this just kind of stuck out to me. This was awesome. Chapter 51, verse 1, it says, "Hearken to me," in Isaiah, "hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. Think about that. that precious stone, that chief cornerstone, that rock, that foundation, the Bible says that we are hewn out of him. As Christians, we know that word, it means little rock. Just like Peter, the little stone. That's what we are. We're that little stone. And I think about me giving that diamond to my wife. I gave it to her. It's out of my hands. I don't have to worry about it anymore. But now to her, she treats it like I used to treat it. She looks at it. She's in the middle of the day, she'll take a picture of it and send it to me and be like, oh, I love my ring. She will. I got one on my phone. You can come look at it. She does this. She loves it. She cherishes it. She cherishes it. It's precious to her. Because I gave it to her because of what it means. And I just think about Jesus being our chief cornerstone, elect, precious, being so valuable beyond all measure. And we get to be a part of that. We are hewn out of him. And you think about all these diamonds that are made. Part of my research, all these diamonds that were made, they find them in just holes in the ground in Africa and wherever they find them, and they find them and they're rough. They're real rough. If you look at them, you're like, I don't want that. It just looks like any old rock. It's kind of clear. It's kind of crystal looking, but it's kind of brown sometimes or kind of ugly. But what they do is they dig down into the core and they cut it to try to find the part that's crystal clear and good, that's presentable. All the other stuff they use for to sharpen diamonds. Diamond sharpens diamond. They use diamond cutters to cut those other diamonds. They use the bad ones to cut the good ones. It just makes sense. But I think about that perfect stone. The stone that I gave my wife was cut and hewn, and I gave it to her. And that's hers forever. And I think about the precious stone that we have. We have Jesus Christ. We're cut out of him. But we ought to be delivering him to other people. Just like I gave my wife that ring, man, we can give the precious stone that we have to somebody else so that they can see how precious the stone is. And you know what? We don't have to give them the whole thing. We still get to keep it. So we both get a ring. We both get to have the precious stone. But man, I think about just thinking about my wife and how she loves that ring. And I think about the people that have given me instruction, given me the word, the people that have taught me the Bible and given me a picture of who Jesus Christ is. And now he's precious to me. And then I go back and I get to fellowship with those people. And they're like, man, they're proud of what's happening. And when you see the work of Jesus Christ become precious to somebody else, your view, your value in Jesus will be even more. It'll grow even more. You'll be like, man, the preciousness that I have is now precious to them. Man, how much more precious is he to me? Like, who else can I share him with? Who else can I give him with? Whether it's a kid, whether it's an adult, whether it's a neighbor, man, we have a precious gift, a very precious gift that we can give to others and we can share with others and they can be just transformed by Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for working in all of our lives and thank you for the words of life that you provide for us, Father. Thank you for being the rock, the foundation that we can stand on, the solid rock that our anchor, our hope, our faith can grip to. Father, I pray that you would help us to see the position that we ought to hold you in as chief. Father, I pray that you would help us to grow in the preference that we ought to have, which should be to choose you, which should be to put you first over all other options. And then finally, Lord, I pray that you would help us to hold you up and cherish you and really value you and understand the importance of who you are and what you can do for all of us. And then help us to be sharers of the gospel. Help us to be ministers of your word and truth to get people to cherish you and precious and understand how precious you are. Father, as we come before you, I pray that you would help us all to take, let's just take a few minutes here, maybe a minute or two, to think about what we've heard tonight, about Jesus being the chief cornerstone, elect, and precious.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for all that you are for us. Help us to take heed to all the thoughts and lessons that we learned tonight, and I pray that you'd help us to hide them in our heart and keep them close and value you and cherish you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.